there's something we miss by not having this service at 11 p.m. There's something otherworldly about coming out in the middle of the night to have a church service to usher in the coming of the Lord. Coming to church in the latter hours of the night is not the norm. And so the lateness of the service at 11 stands out as something different, even unique. But should the time of the service be what stands out in our minds and makes it unique? We are people of tradition, and tradition is not to be taken lightly at all. But the event that we retell on this night, that we gather to celebrate, that's the very core of our tradition, could not be any farther from expected tradition. We don't actually have a time and a date historically for the birth of Jesus. There's no birth certificate to document the name, place, and date of the legal birth of Christ. The last name of the child and the parents' name would have been complicated, to say the least. If we held this newly formed family to any current standard of security or normalcy, they would certainly come up lacking. And that is the whole point of the Christmas event, the birth of God into the world, is it not? If we held this up to our current standard, the current standard since the story occurred, the whole story would sound, or even be, absurd. And that is the beauty and the wonder and the glorious nature of this story, is that it is absurd. It is not normal. It is not what is expected, not what tradition would have it be. You know the story, but it's so good that it's worth telling over and over again. And that's why we're here, after all, isn't it? The story. There's a very, very young woman who was approached by an angel of the Lord. That's a story that came a bit earlier today, but is equally exciting and non-traditional. She agreed to be the mother of God, which is no small thing at all, especially when you have to tell your fiancé that you're pregnant and he knows he's not the father. And you are living in the ancient Middle East. She, Mary, in agreeing to this pregnancy, was expecting, perhaps or probably, a death sentence. Thankfully, this was an arrangement with God, and her fiancé was convinced in a dream that he should not have her stoned to death and should stay with her and raise this child. The breaks with tradition are already mounting. And today, well into the pregnancy, they, Mary and Joseph, have made the journey to Joseph's hometown to be counted for a census, a legal requirement. Think about this for a minute. Can you imagine if everyone who was still living that had been born in Anniston had to come back to sign a document and be counted? Anniston would be absolutely overrun with folks if that were the case. In this day and age, there are all sorts of ways to get around having to physically be present for legal actions, but not then. There were no options. The emperor declared a decree that there would be a census, and everyone had to return to their hometown, 9 months pregnant or not. And so they did, as good law-abiding Jewish citizens. Bone-tired and weary from travel, they found their place to rest in comfort, but were allowed hostel in a barn where the animals were housed. And this untraditional, far from sterile backdrop is where our Savior comes into the world. And if we were to write the story of God born in our presence as one of us, as every generation of people before us, we would have a noble and glorious birth story with the finest doctors and the most highly acclaimed medical facility, or in the best castle with the finest attendants, depending on the accessibility of the time. What we would not have is the story that we do have. And yet the story that we do have is what makes the birth of Christ so wondrous and so compelling and so God and not so of us. But God came into the world to show us how to live as us in an imperfect world filled with imperfect people. God chose to be born of an unwed mother and make God's birth known to the lowest of society, shepherds. God also involved the angels, the heavenly hosts, just to make sure that the people, that's us, noticed that this was an event that warrants our attention. Yet it's not a perfect scenario. It's not clean and neat with a fine cast of players. This is an unmarried young woman and a homeless folks needing shelter and migrant workers, not what many would consider fine, upstanding citizens. How far we've come from that night so very long ago, where a very young woman gave birth to a child in an animal stall. In our imaginings of what Christmas should look like, there's lots of Christmas celebration of perfection. Perfectly wrapped presents, perfectly served meals, on perfectly set tables, with all the perfect adornments in perfectly decorated houses. We have perfect families that come together and join in the celebration with love and affection. Never hurt feelings, never a harsh word. The presents are all perfect for everyone, never the wrong size or an unmet expectation. These are the Christmases of our dreams and not the world in which our Lord entered into to show us the way of life, of messy and unpredictable life. And yet, by design and intention, our Lord entered into our world in the most unpredictable an untraditional way, in the form of a child, in the birth in a manger, to an unwed mother surrounded by a barnyard of animals. And that's the way we are given again, for love and for life. Not a way of glory and bravado, but a way of humility and vulnerability. God came to us on this night as one of us, in their most untraditional and unpredictable way, to show us the way of God, the way of love. Amen.